Blog Talk Radio.
Happen that way. And then there are things that had to happen
that he shows in the scriptures concerning his disciples and concerning, you know, his teaching ministry and how he approaches salvation. So his disciples, even up until the time after he was crucified, still were walking in unbelief. And, you know, it makes it hard to, you know, it's kind of hard to accept that they walked with him all that time, but yet and still they walked in unbelief. And even after he was crucified, they felt let down. Even though he told them that he had to go and that he would die. He told them this stuff, that I'm going to die, I'm going to be resurrected. You know, after 3 days, they are still walking in unbelief. And so I want to pick this up on this morning. Messiah has, you know, come out of the grave. It's been 3 days, three nights. And so the women come to the tomb, and they don't find him. And then we're going to pick it up from there. Because, you know, they're told by the angels, hey, go tell your brethren he is risen. And Peter and one of the other disciples run to the tomb. The other disciple outruns Peter, gets there. He doesn't go in, but he looks in and he don't see Messiah. The other one, Peter comes and he goes in. And he didn't find him there, but he finds his head wrapped, folded up, neat. And then we're going to pick it up from that point, okay? Because I want you to take hold of something here. Not just the disciples walking in unbelief, but Messiah appeared to them in a form they didn't recognize. He appeared to the women in a form they did not recognize. He's talking to them. They're talking to him, and they don't recognize him. And I believe that this was a tree, just what they remembered and what they would be doing. You know, people, when they're around you, they can act one way, and they can say one thing. They can do, you know, to impress you, do, you know, what they feel like you want them to do. But then when you're not around, how do they really act? And see, this is the way our salvation works. When we are in front of people, do we act one way? And then when we're not in front of people, or we're not in front of familiar people, do we act differently? You know, because a lot of times, you know how a person is by how they act when they don't feel like they're under pressure or being observed. So you know how your children are. You know, you teach your children certain things, and then you want to know how they're really going to respond and react when they're not around you. So you're teaching them a lesson, but you don't really know how they're going to, in the real situation, how they're going to actually behave. And so a lot of people, when they don't feel like, you know, the problem with in the military, a lot of times when people go overseas, you're not around family and friends anymore. And you're like a stranger in a new land. And all of a sudden, you don't feel like you're constrained. You become this other person. And you're doing stuff that you shouldn't do. It's the same way. Are you, you know, you're not around people that you feel like are going to hold you accountable. Are going to look at you and say, what are you doing? And so a lot of people in the military that are married, when they go overseas, both men and women, the relationship goes haywire. Probably 80 to 90% get divorced because, you know, it's a new world, it's a new life. Kind of, you know, they don't have any accountability to anybody. They're in some place. Nobody knows them. And so they just feel like they can act a fool. The real them kind of comes out. I don't know what to say. But it changes them. And so when they don't feel like they are being, when they are accountable, then, you know, they start doing things not the way that they were taught or the way it's expected of them. I see this the same thing in Messiah's disciples. Not that they're acting a fool, but they are walking, they're disappointed. Their hopes were someplace for Messiah to do something completely different. And so we're going to pick up that story on today. And then we're going to look at some other things that he did that are, they're miraculous in the scriptures, but you know, they're not called miracles. But they really are miracles. You know, anytime somebody come back from the dead, that's a miracle in itself. But then to prove that they're alive to you. So imagine anybody in your family or any close friend that you have known that has died. You saw them buried. And then they appear to you. They appear in your house, or they appear in a meeting, or, you know, they come to you and you wake up and they're standing by your bedside or something. You know you're going to freak out. I would. You're going to freak out. But Messiah does these things to prove to them that he's alive. But he also appears to them in a form that they can't recognize to see how they're reacting, how they're behaving. So it is, in some ways it's funny, in some ways it's sad. In just how people are, I guess. And, you know, I can't say that I'm any different until you put in the situation. You never really know. You can say what you're going to do, but until you're put in the situation and it's real, you know, if somebody, if one of you sisters died and then came back and said, I'm back, my first response would be to put some holy water on you. I'm just telling you the truth. Who are you? What are you? And this is the disciples, kind of their response. They're afraid. You know, they're afraid. Let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America or South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We pray that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High. And we have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads. As we do our statement of faith, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am chosen. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us get a Most High Elohim, a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you and we lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee, Father. We extol thee. And we bow down to you, Father, and we worship you and you alone. For you alone are our Elohim. And another, we will not give our praise and worship to you, Father, but to you and to you alone. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Father. And so we submit ourselves to you. You are the Creator. You are our Redeemer, our Savior. Hallelujah. You are our Elohim, Father. So we give you glory, honor, and praise on today. We magnify you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah to you, O Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture for today. Let's go down to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah, Elohim of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Yes.
The sounding of the shofar.
withholding nothing, withholding nothing.
You are good, you are kind, you are more than these, not for words trying to describe you. Elohim, Elyon, Aleph Shelevi, your greatness is all I see. There is nothing you cannot do. There is no mountain you cannot move. If you have said it, then you will do it. 'Cause you have a track record of keeping your word. You're not about to stop doing it now. All over Wabayeo. All over Wabayeo. Should be one of Shoro. Shabayile Shoro. All over.
By the blood that you shed, we have overcome these ties that are created for life,
for life.
Then you gave us the right to your holy name.
What they're saying is he's the one that wraps himself in the clouds. And that is just so, even picturing that in my mind, it's just so beautiful. Imagine the Most High wrapped in the clouds. Let's go ahead and jump into this lesson. Our reference verse for today. Oh, before we get started, let me mention that we will have service Monday night for Passover service. I would like if you guys would participate. If you want to read, let me know. I want to do something for that service in remembrance of Messiah, and that is the prophecies concerning him. The whole entire book is about him. He is the Elohim of the Old Testament. He is the Creator. He is our Redeemer. He's our Savior. The whole book is about him, but this particular verses that I want to read, and I want, you know, if you want to participate in that reading, then I will provide you the verses ahead of time. I got to go through and compile them. But if you want to read, then I will assign you a certain number of verses to read, and then we will read them on Monday night in remembrance of our Elohim, okay? So just let me know if you want to participate, and then when I compile the verses, then I will provide you a list that you will read, and then I will, you know, just call on you to read them, and we will go forth that way. All right, amen? Amen. All right, our scripture for this morning, Mark chapter 16 and verse 12. The book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 12. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, and as they walked and went into the country. So we're sort of going to look at the events that lead up to this, and then look at these events and kind of go over what is happening, okay? And then we'll look at a couple of other things. Let us go to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Starting in verse 1. I'm just going to read it in your hearing. I'll expound on the verses where, you know, where needed to be. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. So they are, these are the women, and they are coming to prepare Messiah's body for burial, okay? And this is where we're picking it up at. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of Yeshua HaMashiach, or the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, confused, thereabout, what has happened to his body? Where did it go? You can imagine what's going through their minds, because in all practical purposes, as far as they're concerned, his body should be there, okay? And so their first suspect is that it's going to be the Pharisees and the Sadducees that stole it. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek you the living among the dead? And he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise up again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulcher. Now, in another story, I think it's Mary Magdalene, she, looking into the tomb, asks, where is his body? And she sees who she assumes to be the gardener. And she asks him, have you seen his body? Did you tell me where you placed it, and I'll go there. And, you know, she's assuming that the Pharisees have stolen it, okay? Here in this rendition of the story, it's more than one woman here now. And Luke is telling, I believe he's going to give the names of the women in the next verse, who are there. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So they are coming in, they are retelling the story of what has happened, okay? And they're telling it to the apostles. And their words seem to them as idle tales. Yeah, get out of here, woman. Y'all are making this stuff up. We know Messiah got beat up and killed, crucified. And we know his body's in that tomb. So what y'all talking about, you know, y'all just talking idle talk. He is not risen. This is where their mindset is at, okay? And they believed them not. Now, Messiah told the disciples, in 3 days, I'm going to be killed in Jerusalem. And after 3 days, I'm going to get up. They don't believe him. Even after they saw him raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days, they don't believe him. And so they are still walking in unbelief. So it's easy to imagine a person today reading the scriptures, hearing the story, and still walking in unbelief. Still not committing to, you know, thinking, oh, well, wait a minute, this might be a fairy tale. Or this might be an old wise tale. Or, you know, something that men created to control us. I hear all kinds of different opinions, different people's understandings, okay? And so you have to believe what is written. And you have to take from what is written, put yourself in their shoes. Not having sympathy for them, but empathy. Place yourself in their place. How would you have reacted? What would you have thought? You know, and you walked with him. You saw the miracles. You saw him feed, you know, 5,000 and then 7,000 with little next to nothing. You saw him walk on water. You saw him raise people from the dead. And you saw him staying away from people. You saw him hiding from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Not for out of fear, but you don't know what might be going through your mind. He was hiding from them because it wasn't yet his time. Yet there are things that had to happen. Prophecy had to be fulfilled so that it could testify that the Most High is real. And that what he says is believable. So he causes these things to happen or not to happen to prove that he is, so that you might believe. But these are with him every day for 3 years. And he's teaching them. And he's telling them directly, this is what I got to suffer. This is what I got to go through. And when he is taken, they scatter. Just scatter. I'll die with you. I'll die for you. But when they really come and get you, the real you shows up. Uh-uh. I don't want to have nothing to do with that cross. So they scatter. Now he's dead, and they truly believe he is 1,000% dead. He ain't coming back. They don't care what he said. Ain't nobody else ever came back. And these women come and say, hey, the tomb is empty. We went and we checked. We're going to prepare his body for burial. And he's not there. And so the disciples probably think, too, that somebody else stole the body. They know they didn't do it. But they don't believe these women. Okay. Now, Peter gets up. And I need to go check this thing out. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher. Stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now, what is he wondering? Is it true that he got up? Did somebody take him? It shouldn't have been no doubt because Messiah told him directly, and all the apostles, that he's going to get up after 3 days. But he's still wondering. He still got doubt. Okay? Keep going. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus. Now, these are two disciples. And I want you to pay particular attention here because remember when he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, she didn't recognize him. So he has this ability to appear in a different form. Not to appear as himself as they knew him. And he didn't appear in all his glory. He didn't appear as this shining bright light like he did on the mountain with Peter and I believe it was John up on the top of this mountain. And they want to make a sanctuary to him and Elijah and Moses. So he shows them his glory, a form of it. But here he doesn't do that. Behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs, 7 miles. They're going home. It's over. He's dead. They ain't staying for the funeral. Just check this out. They're not staying for anything. They're going over in their mind, what was wrong? What the heck just happened? We believe that he was the Savior of Israel. And here he is dead. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. The miracles, everything. How could this have happened? And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, put yourself in their shoes. Listen to what the scriptures are telling you. They are walking together. They're going home. They're not staying for the funeral. What did we get into? What just happened? How did we fall for that? All kind of things. Yeshua himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding, they did not know him. So Messiah comes and joins them. They're on their way home, not even going to go to the funeral. And he joins them in a form that they don't recognize him. They don't know who he is. Now, I find this conversation amazing. Let's listen to it. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Why are you sad? What are you talking about? They're discussing Messiah and all the things he did and then how he got killed. Now how he's dead and in the grave. And Messiah said, what are y'all talking about, and why are you so sad? Because he told them he's going to rise again. But their sadness is coming from their unbelief. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Are you a stranger here? Don't you know what has happened the past few days? Stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known the things which have come to pass there in these days. Don't you know what has happened? Now, Cleopas would probably be like me, because I don't watch the news. But they, not Cleopas, he's asking this stranger, don't you hear the news? Okay. And again, Cleopas, now we don't hear him mentioned in the scriptures anywhere else, but he's a disciple. He's a follower. He and this other man. And it's probably why they aren't mentioned, because they're leaving. Not even going to stay for the funeral. Okay? And he said unto them, what thing? What are y'all talking about? And they said unto him, concerning Yeshua of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before Elohim and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him, have killed him. But we trusted, we believed in him, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. The third day. 3 days have gone by. And they are on their way home. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. Certain women came to us and said, hey, he is risen, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now, they know this. They don't believe that he's actually risen. They believe that they have believed a lie. They know what they saw. They saw the miracle. But how could he get killed? That's a permanent thing. Ain't nobody ever came back from the dead, even though they saw him raise Lazarus. But Lazarus didn't bring himself back from the dead. So now listen to the rest of this conversation. Then he said unto them, O fool. Now this is the stranger. Keep track of this conversation. This is the stranger talking. This is Messiah himself, but this is the stranger. They don't know who this is. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That should have been a clue right there. They still don't know who's talking to them. And, you know, as I read this and contemplated it, as soon as Messiah said this, you would think that they would question him. What do you know about the matter? We were with him. We saw him or heard about him being crucified, because it's not written that they were at the crucifixion. But they know he's dead. They know he's buried. So he calls them fools and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, this is the stranger talking to them. They are the disciples. And the stranger is rebuking them, telling them they should have known these things. How? By the prophet. By the book. Everything that foretold of him. Everything that he did. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. They don't know he's talking about himself. But he's explaining to them the scriptures, the prophecies concerning Messiah. They still don't question it. They still don't question who he is. They're amazed by him, kind of, but they're not asking, well, what do you know about this matter? How do you know? And you would think that that thought would have come up sometime. How do you know so much about it? Are you a prophet? Are you a Pharisee, a scribe, an elder? How do you know these things? And how do you know the scriptures? And what's going on here? And they drew nigh or near unto the village. They drew nigh or near unto Emmaus. whether they went, where they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. I'm going on down the road. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Hey, you know, they don't say where he's going. But hey, won't you stay here with us? Because evidently, something he has said has attracted their attention. But it's a level that they don't have. And they are curious. They are intrigued. Stay here. Don't go further down the road. You can stay here with us tonight. For it is toward evening. Don't travel during the night. And the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. Now, pay attention here, because I know this. And it came to pass as he sat at meat at dinner with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. Now they know who he is. When he is rebuking them, they don't know who he is. When he's expounding the scriptures to them, they don't know who he is. And they are really in the place that he is dead. This particular mission is over. We're going home. And probably glad that the authorities ain't caught them and killed them. Woo! Man, we got away. We were with him. And he meets them, and it's like a test. What is in them? And even as they are being rebuked for his sake, and he's telling them all about him, things that they should have known, that they should have understood, but didn't. When he gives them, when he breaks bread and gives it to them, then their eyes are open. It's him. Well, would you put yourself in their shoes? Self in their shoes. You are leaving and you going home. This stranger meets you, asks you what you're talking about. Why are y'all so sad? Why are y'all discussing this matter? And you tell him all about all the events that happened the past 3 years and how you walked with him and you saw the miracles and you did this and you did that, and then he's dead. And it's been 3 days now since he was killed. And we're going home. And he says to you, you fool. Don't you know that Messiah had to go through these things and suffer and be raised the third day, as it is written in the prophets? He couldn't even say it, but he didn't say it. As I told you. But he told them himself. So these are two men, really, who have no faith. And they don't really, they believe as long as they can see. But when push came to shove, as the scripture said, they scattered. Then they know he's buried. Now they're going home. And this is what Messiah's walking back into. Now, we got to know that he already knew this was going to happen. But think about it. You spend 3 years showing people who you are, telling them who you are, revealing yourself to them, showing them great miracles. Things that only can come from the Most High. They testify that, hey, he's a man of the Most High. At least that's what they understand. They don't really understand who he is. But the only thing they're concerned with is the restoration of Israel. That's really all they're concerned with. And they thought that he was the hope of Israel. And in their mind, the hope of Israel got killed and buried. And this mission is over. So he reveals who he is. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Poof! Now, wait a minute. That should have freaked them out too. You meet a stranger. He expounds to you the scriptures concerning the Messiah. You don't know that he's the Messiah. You tell him, stay with you, and you're going to eat. Y'all eating, and then your eyes are open as to who he really is. And as soon as you know who he really is, he disappears in front of you. Vanishes. Don't say he gets up and walks out. Don't say, well, I'll see y'all later. You two, I'm going to reveal who I am. And poof, gone. That would have freaked me out. See how they react. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened up to us the scriptures. Now this is a stranger opening the scriptures to them. They don't know it's him. But now they're realizing, hey, while he was talking to them, they felt a certain way. They were excited. Maybe they were convicted. Doesn't really say. But they feel something while he's talking to them. And then when he reveals himself and just disappears, now they're recalling all this stuff. Now they got a different nature about them. Okay? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. We got to go back. Now we didn't think. We were that before, this mission is over. Now they have seen him. We need to go back to Jerusalem. We got to tell everybody. They had to have proof. They weren't believing in and of itself on his own word. They weren't believing the things he told them while he was alive the first time. And truth of the matter is, they had gone home. And he appears to them and tells them and reveals himself. Now they're excited again. I wonder how many of us are waiting for something like that. And what's the chances of that happening in our lifetime? Having an experience like that where Messiah appears to you and tells you to do something to excite you, to make you commit to a whole different level, to a level where you would be willing to give your life. Because that's what this is about. Say they believe today. But do they really? Do they have the level of faith that the disciples had? That while they were in the presence of Messiah, we'll do all this, we'll do all that. We're willing to die for you. But as soon as he died, they ran and then start going home. I mean, not even staying for his funeral. If you believe he's dead, and you know the place where they put him at is not a permanent place, they took him down real quick to put him in a tomb so that he wouldn't be up for the feast day. Because it was against the law. Had it not been a feast day, there's no telling how long they'd have left him on that cross. And then you start heading home. Think about that. How much shame, really, do you think that these people should have had? How much change? We told you we would die for you. We told you that, you know, we would follow you to the ends of the earth. But when they think that he is dead and gone, they abandon the mission. They're talking about it. They're discussing it. But in their mind and in their heart, it's over. And, you know how we do. We're just thankful we didn't get caught. I didn't say that that's where their heart is at, but, you know, that's human. That's just a natural human response. If you in a gang with somebody and y'all doing whatever, doing dirt or doing whatever, and the law gets after you, gets after the gang, and other people get caught and you don't get caught, and you one of the few, you know, only one of y'all got taken, the head got taken. In this case, come after you, and you're walking around like, ain't that never happened. With the public, but amongst yourselves, you know, you still got that sort of camaraderie. And you're talking about what happened, and you got to know some negative things came up. We thought that he was the savior of Israel. We thought that he was going to take the throne. They're going to take the kingdom back. They're going to kick the Romans out of here. They're going to reestablish the nation. All those signs, all those miracles. And it was for nothing. Messiah called them fools. They didn't believe. Even after seeing. Now, we haven't seen those miracles. Some. And so it can be very easy for us to get dejected. It can get discouraged. Be very easy for us to be unbelievers. So think about your own life and what made you commit to the Most High. And did it truly make you commit to the point that you would give your life? Did it make you commit to the point that you would witness for him? That you wouldn't care what other people said? That you would go the distance for him? Because all these men said the same thing. And they were with him. And they actually saw him or heard of him getting killed. And they believe that he is dead and gone. And the only way to change their mind is he has to appear to them. How would you like for Messiah to call you a fool? But he's still going to use you. See, that's where we are at today. We have to be committed to him no matter what. We have to be believers no matter what. Can't none of us say that we ever saw him in the flesh. Can't none of us say that we ever saw any of the miracles that he did. And none of us say that we heard his voice as he was teaching in real life. Now, Messiah may have come to you in a vision. He may have come to you in a dream. He may have sent an angel to you, a messenger, and had them speak to you. But whatever your experience has been, whatever it has been, is it enough that you would be willing to die for him, literally? Because these men, it wasn't enough. Put yourself in Messiah's shoes. You spend all this time teaching and telling them who you are, revealing yourself to them, only to find out that they don't really actually believe what you're saying. They do and they don't, which really comes down to a don't. Because when the right circumstances come up, you got killed. How many people are going to believe that you are what you said you are? That you are who you say you are? So this is where we are at and where we have to make the decision, each and every one of us in our lives. We don't have the testimony of the disciples. My personal testimony is I know the voice that I heard. I know the things that the Most High has done in my life, the different situations he's put me into, to know that it was him. The different situations he delivered me out of. And then a lot of those, I was still kind of in doubt. But the one that actually pushed me over the top, over the fence, made me commit 100%, is when I heard his voice. I will not forever call you. I know nobody else heard that, but I heard it. And I knew the voice that was telling me. So remember what event it was that pushed you over the top, that made you commit 100% and beyond. Because I know there's too many people in this world who are like the disciples before they receive power. And you see how they're acting. Peter and John running to the tomb like they don't believe he's alive. They're not running with that expectation. It's not until they see the tomb empty, and they still don't have that expectation that he's alive, that he is risen, even though he told them. They still don't really have that expectation. They believe when the women tell them that they are talking idle talk. Please, don't nobody get up after that. He was beaten beyond recognition. They put a crown of thorns on his head and mocked him, and then they beat that crown into his head. And believe me, if you ever been struck by a thorn, you know it ain't nothing nice. So to have a crown of thorns stuck on your head and then beat into your head, that's excruciating pain. And then they side with a spear. And you see water and blood come out. That water is because his heart has stopped. And it has stopped long enough for the blood to start separating. The red blood cells from the clear plasma. And so it looked like water coming out. That was to affirm that he was dead. And so in your mindset, we have followed this man 3 years. And just that quick, but all the time that he's explaining stuff, they don't understand it. And when he gets killed, in their mind, it's over. So you being Messiah, you being the Most High, where would you be with that? He understood it was going to be their nature. That's why he said you have to receive power. I'm going to have to give you something that's going to make you do the right thing. It's going to make you know. It's the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Without it, without, I don't even want to say it, without him, we try to be good on our own. But we will be just like the apostles. We'll talk a good game. But when it really push comes to shove, when the rubber meets the road, then you have to tell us, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Because we will still be allowing those things in our life to control us that shouldn't control us. We will not be 100% convinced. Can't go there. Can't do that. No matter what circumstance we might have found ourselves in, we have to realize we put ourselves in that situation. We have to take accountability for our own lives. We have to take our accountability with him. And we have to know that he knows our heart. That he, if there's something that we yearn for, if it is within his will, he will make a way. He'll make a way for it to happen. But we have to be dedicated to him first, to the point of denying ourselves, and be willing to suffer. Yeah, I want this, but I'm committed to you. And so if it means that I have to go without, I will go without. But he knows your heart. He knows that we're human. But we don't use that as the excuse to go ahead and do what we want to do. He will make a way. I hope we can hear this. He will make the way. So we don't go and run the street saying we belong to him, doing all kind of things saying we belong to him, going through the motions saying we belong to him, when what we really want to be doing is self-serving, addressing our own needs. He will make the way. And we just got to know and believe that, even if the answer is no. Even if the answer is no. We will serve him till we die. Just keep going in this. Because, as I said, if you look at these disciples, fresh. It ain't been but 3 days. We never had a clue until we were introduced to him. You know, a lot of times that wouldn't even be 100% introduced to him. In some cases we were fed lies, told half truth. And it's fresh with them. And how are they reacting? So now he appears to them. And their mindset changes. They have an actual, real experience with him. We got to get up and go back. Stick it up there. And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11. Now, they just had dinner. They traveled all day. They've walked this 7 miles. They've eaten. He appears to them. He reveals himself to them. They turn right back around. It's at night now. Don't you go further. You stay here with us. They prepare the meal and they eat, and he reveals himself. In the same hour, they get back up and go back to Jerusalem. Whole different mindset. A whole different mindset. I got to be about my J-O-B again now. And I can't wait until tomorrow. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So they found the 11 and plus some more. But see, we're never told about Cleophas, except for in this verse here, these verses here. We always talk about the 12 disciples. You don't really hear about all the others that walk with Messiah, who said they were with him. But as you can see, as soon as he was dead, they were out of there. Saying that the Lord or Yeshua is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told these things, and they told what things were done in the way and how he had, was known of them in breaking of bread. Now, didn't say that they told all the things that they were talking about. Didn't say that they told, you know, how he rebuked them in the way. Just how he was revealed to them. Okay. And as they thus spoke, Yeshua himself stood in the middle. Poof! He's there. The disciples haven't seen him yet. These other people haven't seen him yet. These two who had given up and had gone home, they're there to testify, hey, it's true, he's risen. And while they are going through this story, he just appeared in the room. Again, how would you react? See how they react. And as they thus spake, Yeshua himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified. They weren't feeling no peace. They weren't feeling comfortable. They are terrified. That's one word. That is beyond fear. That is, we getting ready to get up and run. Or we so scared we can't run. Terrified and affrighted. And suppose that they have seen a spirit. It's a ghost. Now, I don't know if you ever watched, you know, a house I grew up in, I just put it on me. The house I grew up in that we moved to in Houston, and I'm saying I grew up in it, but I was about 14 when we moved there. Something like that, okay? And I call it home. But that house was haunted. It had spirits in it, at least one that I know of, but I think it was more. And I never saw the thing, but I saw the actions of it. And there was times that me and my brother had to get up out of there, had to run. The water in the tub would come on by itself. We had a picture of Jesus in a wooden frame with an eye hole on it. And it was on a nail that was sticking about half an inch to an inch out of the wall at an angle. So it wouldn't just come, you know, you had to lift it up to take it off. It flew off the wall. Our younger sister at the time, she would be out in the garage in the middle of the night playing with somebody that wasn't there. We couldn't see him. And then years later, probably 5 or 6 years later, our younger brother, who had never been told about this entity, was out in the garage playing with it. Me and my brother were sitting on his bed, and something sat down beside us. The bed went down. We both looked at each other, got up and ran. So you physically see what you think is a ghost. This is how the disciples reacted. And your first thought is not to stay there. Now, I know my mother had a gift, and she could see spirits. And they would scare her. But not to the point that she would run, but she could see them. My younger daughter has that same gift. And I tried to explain to her when she was younger what she was seeing. I understood what she was seeing. And I didn't want her to be 1,000% freaked out about it. Unless they start messing with it, then, you know, I have to go to the Most High on it, whatever it is. But the bottom line is, they were terrified, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? They're seeing him. Remember, he told them, I'm going to rise after 3 days. But this fear and this fright is coming from unbelief. Not just that he just appeared, but that even that he's even alive, period. In their heart and in their mind, he is dead and gone. They've accepted that. That is the way of life. I don't care who it is in our life. If they pass away, no matter how much we love them, how much we want them to come back, or we want them to get up, they've never gotten up. They are convinced. He's gone. And so that's where this fear is coming from. Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Now, these thoughts, doesn't say what these thoughts are, but they can't be good thoughts. So I would address them as being good. He wouldn't say, why are you having good thoughts in your heart? Why are you having these thoughts of fear and unbelief? But he's really questioning. Behold my hands. Look at my hands. And look at my feet. That is I myself. The same body that you saw nailed up on the cross. Handle me. Touch me. And see. That's how you don't believe. You think you're seeing a ghost. You didn't think I was coming back. Look and see. Come and touch me. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have. A spiritual being that is 100% spirit, incorporeal, not walking around in flesh, don't have skin and bones. The Messiah said, hey, I ain't here in the spirit. I'm actually here. Come and touch me, because this is what you need to change your mind. What you need physical proof that I have risen. So he challenges them. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Come and touch me. Feel that I'm real. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not, for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have you here any meat? Now, he's going to do something to prove to them that he's real. Not just touch me. But let me do something else. Got anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Spirit don't do those things. A spirit don't have a need to, and an ability to even eat. Unless they have come in a form, like when the Most High came to the earth for Abraham. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Appeared to Abraham in flesh, two other angels. And they did eat with Abraham. Abraham took lamb and bread and butter and milk. And they ate. A miracle in that story too. Because it says that it was Yah himself. But he wasn't coming as the Son of Man. I'm coming to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I come down to see all together if everything that's coming up to me is true. I'm going to see it for myself. And he brings two witnesses. Yes, it's true. These people will sleep with anybody and anything. The men will go after other men. Bring those men in your house out here that we might know them. Not know them in a friendly way, but an affectionate way. That we might be with them. And in this case, they don't even know if these men are like that. Well, we just rape them. We'll just take what we want. And they're going to bust into Lot's house and take them. And the angels that were there made them blind. But they were physical. They came in a form, and they had flesh and bone. They could eat. They could taste it. Not that they had a need to. It's not that Messiah had a need to. But it tells you that you're going to still have that ability too. When you are resurrected and you receive your next body, you have the ability to appear in whatever form you want to appear to different people. You will have the ability to appear and disappear or walk through walls. You'll have the ability to eat if you want to eat or not eat if you don't want to eat. All these things are written for our benefit. It's that we shall be like him. He wouldn't have shown these things except for our benefit. And you're going to be able to do the same thing. You're not going to come back in a spiritual body. You're not going to come back as one of the hosts of heaven. That's not designed to be in this environment. Because the truly spirit, those that are truly, what do you call it? A corporal, I think they call that word, e-corporal. They are not in a body, but you're seeing their essence in their form. You're not coming back that way. Nobody's going to be saying, woo, woo, it's a ghost. No, you're coming back just like Messiah came back. That may not be the same body that you know now, because Scripture says the Most High is going to give you a body as it pleases him. So you may not look like you, but it's known that it's you. But you're going to still be flesh and bone. You won't be able to die. You won't be able to rot. You won't be able to get sick. You won't get hungry, but you can eat if you want to. You can drink if you want to. You have choice. Most high, I want to go out of space. I want to go outside the earth. You can't die. So if you go out there, you can't die. You don't need air. You don't need water. I want to go on the moon. I want to see the earth from the moon. Can't die. I want to go into the sun. Can't die. Can't be consumed by the natural sun. The only thing that can hurt you is what the Most High designed to hurt you is the lake of fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. That's the only thing that can hurt you. Other than that, nothing can hurt you. And that's specifically prepared by the Most High for anybody who disobeys him. So you're going to be like him. And he's talking to his disciples who don't believe that he's actually back. Come and touch me. Feel me. Look at me eat. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Gotta happen. That's why it's important, even about the 3 days and the three nights, and how the Orthodox churches, how the Christian world, those that are walking in unbelief, those that are walking according to false doctrine, how they have made up their own feast day, why it's important that you understand that it has to be fulfilled just as it was written. And you don't turn around and make it be what you want it to be so that you can walk in, so that you can walk comfortably with yourself and with everybody else. So that all, you got to believe that all things must be fulfilled to the letter, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. He's telling you where to go look. Go look in the book of the laws of Moses. Go look in the books that Moses wrote. Go look in what the prophets wrote. Go look in the Psalms. They are all testifying about me. And all those things had to be fulfilled. And so, you've got to know that. You've got to walk in that. And when somebody's walking in untruth, hey, you tell them once or twice and then you let it go. You have done your job. And you don't have to call him a fool. The Most High will do that. Our job is to offer reconciliation in spirit and in truth. If the word won't convince them, if hearing it, the Most High speak through you, won't convince them, then they're not to be convinced. I don't care if it's your husband or your wife or your children or your cousin or a friend, a stranger. It doesn't matter. Because we get caught up. and we take it personal. And in a lot of ways, it can be personal. But we have to step outside of that. Because the only one truthfully that we can save is ourselves. Can nobody convince you what you believe? Can nobody turn your heart and your mind to the Most High and make you commit 100%? That's a choice you had to make yourself. Can't do it for anybody else. You have no control over their mind. You might think that you can influence, that you can persuade. All you can do is tell them. Just tell them and let it go. If not, you will be consumed. And you'll probably start to walk in sin, trying to convince them. Becoming prideful, puffed up. So just know, just tell them. All these things have to happen, had to happen. Why? All things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, in the psalm. Exactly as they were said. They may not understand. And so you find when people don't understand, they start making up stuff. Making it up. Because they want to understand, they want to know, but if the Most High don't give it to them, whether through you or in a dream or a vision, it ain't for them to know. And we can be sad or mad about that. That's on each one of us, how we accept that. More important to you, the Most High, you, or everybody else. And it may sound hard, but that's just truth, and that is reality. You can have compassion. You could hope that they would be saved, but you can't save them. They have to save themselves. The bottom line. Okay, so he's telling them, hey, I told you these things when I was with you, and they didn't believe it. They didn't believe who he said he was. They need physical proof. That's why he appears to them. I hope we can get what the scripture is saying to us. They walked in unbelief. They walked with him and were still in unbelief. You have to have had something that happened to you that's equivalent to this. That's equivalent to it. That was going to change your heart. It was going to change your paradigm. I was going to push you over the edge. You could be in church all your life. You could be singing hymns, singing in the chorus, serving out dinners, greeting people at the door, cleaning up the church, sweeping the parking lot, up in the pulpit. Don't matter. They were doing all that, would have done all that had it been required. Well, I'm a side walk with them. Even confessing their love and they would die for him. But when the rubber met the road, you see exactly how. See, we are always told about the story and they only use one because the other scattered. They went their separate ways. Woo! Out into the countryside, out of the city, they're gone. They done took Messiah. and he's but a man. And we believe that stuff he was saying, and we walk with him. And we are threatened with our life as well now. They're running for their lives. Sit up with Peter. I would die for you. And Messiah told me, before the cock crows 3 times tonight, you have denied me 3 times that you even knew me. And here you are telling me you would die for me. Do we have the commitment that we need? Are we afraid of what people are going to say, what they're going to think? Are we afraid that we are on the fringes, on the outside, and everybody else is right, and somehow we got it wrong? Are we walking in any kind of doubt? Because Messiah says, don't doubt. Believe what is written. Walk in it. Receive power. My spirit. So that you can do the necessary. Make sure that you have it. Make sure that you have received me truthfully, in spirit and in truth. Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ, Messiah, to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, I'm going to send this. Okay, the promise. But wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Right now, y'all a mess. I was with you 3 years. You were with me up until the point that they took me. And you didn't believe. Now I'm going to send you power. Don't you go out before you receive this power. So go to Jerusalem and wait. He received the power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So they see him. They see him risen. He's proven to them that he has risen. He eats with them. He spends 40 days with them. 40 days. They really only have to wait in Jerusalem, maybe a week, 7 days. He's gone 3 days. He comes to spend 40 days. That's 43 days until from Passover to Pentecost. It's 50 days. So they really only have to wait about a week, 7 days. They go to Jerusalem, and they wait. And they're waiting on the promise, the power. It's going to change their life. It's going to change their level of commitment. It's going to change their ability to suffer. See, when you know something, let me put it this way. When you know that you know that you know, when you are 100% convinced of something, your level of commitment, your level of how you operate changes. The only way that you will be committed to giving your life, because being filled by the Ruach HaKodesh with evidence, the only way you're going to know. Can't ever be in that position where I think, I believe. There's a difference in what you can think and what you can believe, in what you know. You can think, I can run the 40-yard dash in 4 seconds, get out there and get on that field, and you believe it. You run and you do 5 seconds or 6 seconds. You believed it that you could do 4. You didn't know it. Then you didn't do it. Now you know that you run the 40 in 5 seconds. You can't run it in 4. You know it now. So you don't have to believe that you can run it in 4. You know you can run it in 5. There's a difference there in what you believe and what is actual. Now there's no way that you're going to run the 40 in 4 if you didn't think you could. You wouldn't put forth the effort. But then, in reality, this is what actually happened. Now, if you did it in 4, cool, then you believe, and now you know that you can run it in 40 because you did it. You can do the 40 in 4 seconds, okay? I'm just giving an example. There's a difference in believing and knowing. What you believe can be changed. You can be moved on what you believe. You cannot be moved on what you know. I know this. I don't care what you say. Can't be moved on that. Because that's what you know. Whether it's true or not, that's what you know. I know this. It's hard to move a person from that position. Damn near impossible. Something major, major, major has to happen to be able to move a person from that position. But what they believe, you can move them from. You can convince them. What you believe is not actually correct, or is not totally correct. You can move them. What they know, you're never going to move them from it. It takes the Most High to move them from that. It takes an extreme event in their life to move them off of that position. So for those that are convinced, and they're convinced at that level, you have to let it be. Hey, y'all be friends, do whatever. You got your beliefs, I got mine. You got what you know, and I have mine. And as long as y'all ain't enemies, just like Messiah said, when the disciples came back and said, hey, there are people casting out unclean spirits just like we are. What are we going to do about it? He said, don't do nothing about it. If they're not against you, they're for you. Because if they're not with us, then we would want to make them our enemy. He says, don't do that. Just know that you're on a different mission. You're at a different level. And please, and please, but please, don't let your life be hypocritical, where you're saying one thing and doing another. Because that's what people do. And then for their shortcoming, they want to put it back on Messiah. Well, he'll forgive you. You are accountable. We all are, okay? And that is what the fallacy that the church has sold. No matter how many times you fall, he will pick you up, he will take you back. That's not true. That is a great lie. He's merciful. He's kind. He's loving. He's all those things to those that truly obey him. But he don't really put up with willful disobedience. That's the lie that the church has sold. He don't put up with it. You know it and I know it. We've read it for ourselves. I believe what is written. And so we see his disciples after his life, after they believe he's gone. Dude, that's a done deal. We believe what he said, and he's dead. And now we could have people coming after us, killing us for what he said, and what we were running around saying, being associated the whole nine yards. And it wasn't until they received physical evidence that they were 100% committed, convinced. He's alive, and everything that he told us is true. You and I really have to 1,000% believe that by faith. But I know that the Most High will do something for you. If it's truly in your heart to believe, to truly believe, that you would go, you would come out of the place where you would do anything to offend him, then he will give you something. He will show you something. He will send somebody to you so that you can 1,000% believe and walk in his ways, even if it costs you your life. And that's the level of commitment that he's looking for. See, a lot of people are going to say, yeah, I'll do that. His own disciples said it to his face. And he came back in a form that they could not recognize to see exactly. I don't want you telling me a lie to my face. Let me appear as a stranger. Let me see where you really at. And found them dead. It hadn't even been 3 days. Abandon the case. Abandon the cause. I'm going home. I'm returning back to my fishing net. I'm returning back to my cow fields. I'm returning back to my sheep herd. I'm returning back to my crops. Whatever they were doing. We believe that you were the Savior, the King, the Messiah. And they didn't kill you. But we must have believed a lie. We were fooled. We saw this stuff, but wow. He had to come back and physically show them. No, everything was real. And everything that I taught you while I was with you, to show you that all things must be fulfilled. That is to give credibility to the Most High that he is, and that everything that he says is going to come to pass exactly as he said. It must be fulfilled. And so for you and I, know that the world that celebrates Easter has been fooled. Know that all those who keep Sunday, who don't worship the true and living Elohim, who don't keep his commandments, his statutes, his laws, his judgments, that they have been fooled. And I can say that with confidence. They're going to tell you you've been fooled. But if you give them the scriptures, if you point them out to them in a way that comes from the Ruach, they'll try to argue with you. But they won't be able to undo. And trust, over time, it will get to them. You just keep living the way that you live it. Righteously. means lawfully. Not in their eyes, but in the eyes of the Most High. Can't say you belong to him and then don't obey him. It is written. You either believe that or you don't. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember that the Most High reveals himself first to the women. They were the one doing the work. They were the one that came with the news that he is risen. They were the ones that were so upset that, hey, somebody stole his body. Now, again, they walked in a level of unbelief because they didn't really believe that he had risen until he appeared to them. At least to Mary Magdalene. The other Marys believed because of Mary Magdalene. They believed when they were told. But the men, they really had reacted as this was a lost cause. That we have believed for nothing. We have hazarded ourselves for nothing. And now our life is at peril. I'm going home. Make sure you understand what the scriptures are saying. And just not be caught in that.
do.
Tonight, we will be celebrating Passover. If you want to read, just send me an email saying that, yeah, you would like to participate in the reading, and I will send you the scriptures that I would like for you to read, okay, for the Passover. And we'll proceed that way. So you have my email address. If you want to read during the Passover, send me an email, and I will send you the scriptures that I would like for you to read. Make yourself available to do so, and we will proceed in that. And we will be doing, as Messiah said, from Moses to the prophets, he expounded to them everything that was spoken about him. And we can't cover everything, but we will cover a lot of it for the Passover service. This is how we will celebrate this Passover. And we will have a communion service. So if you will get your grape juice, no wine, no real wine, grape juice, your flatbread, then we can have a communion service here online with each other. Okay, and it is all good for those that are listening. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is our whole duty. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of the... Oh, there won't be a lesson this evening. Okay. I need to go through and find the scriptures that I need. And after Sabbath, there are things that I need to do as well. And so I just need the time on this evening. So we will not have a lesson this evening. But we will have one Monday night. We will have one Tuesday of next week. Okay? With that being said, peace and blessings, and enjoy the rest of your day. And hold on. I think you're saying something, Sister Denise. Were you trying to say something, Sister Denise? My speaker is on, but I'm not hearing you, but I see the light flashing. Yeah, I'm sorry, my sister. I don't know what's going on, but my speaker is on, I think. Let me turn it off and turn it back on. It's weird. Won't turn off, won't turn on. You know, I think I just need to buy some new equipment. All right, there's the blue light.
If you,
okay, all right, amen. I can hear you now. So, all right, amen. Yeah, just text me and...
okay, yeah, I can hear you right now.
Okay, amen. To all others, if you want to participate, you know, just text it and... Or yeah, text me that you want to participate, and then I will give you the list of scriptures, as I said, that I would like for you to read for that ceremony. That being said, shalom and enjoy the rest of your day. And understand we will not be meeting tonight. Peace and blessings.
Which dwelleth in Zion, our Elohim.
Shalom, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day. Peace and blessings.
Shalom.
Sister Mary, wake up over there. I'm just playing with you, my sister, I know. Shalom, peace and blessings.
Shalom.
Hey, Hart.
Hello, yeah, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Oh, I just called that to a question.
Okay, I might have an answer.
Yeah, did you get those calls?
Yeah, I did. I replied back to you. I liked them all.
What was your favorite?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to go back again and look. I think you sent me 10 of them or something like that.
Yeah.
And I read them all. I like them all. You know, I've always liked your writing anyway. I'd have to go back and look and see which one I would consider to be a favorite.
Had I sent you those before?
I don't know. Those seem to be new.
Okay.
Because remember, when you published a book, I had those. Yeah, those 10 I had never seen before.
Okay.
So yeah, I can't tell you right now. I can go back and reread them again, and then tell you which one I think would be my favorite. And I might have had one, but right now my mind was on something else, so I can't really tell you.
All right.
Have you been in your pause room?
Not today. I mean, I don't
even
know
what,
I don't
even know anything
about
this block
my time.
Okay.
She's not going to be there today anyway.
Why not? She holding class or something?
Nah, she, Bob said he went in there last night, and as soon as he could hear, the last thing he heard her say was that she wasn't going to be in the room Saturday.
Okay.
So, like,
take this down. I forgot I didn't hang up my service.